Your name?
Lynn Bergfalk.
Your profession?
Well, I'm a pastor and the director of a nonprofit organization called CityGate.
And that's what I want to talk about, CityGate. I visited two of the sites that CityGate runs yesterday at the Merrick Center and Atlantic Gardens, after-school programs for kids. These particular two were in Southeast, and I know CityGate is largely based in Southeast. Talk about this program at CityGate.
Are you about the program in Southeast or the larger program?
Start with the larger program.
Okay, well, let me just first say something about the concept, which explains a lot of the practical stuff that we do. In the ancient world, the city gate was not simply an entrance through the city wall. It was a grassroots community institution, so to speak. It was a place where the elders of the community met to deal with the needs and concerns of the community. It was a place where the widows and the orphans and the poor were specifically supposed to receive justice, where the stranger, the foreigner, was to be welcomed. So what it was about was the inclusion in the life of the community of those often who were marginalized, powerless, had no voice. So the concept of our program is really this ancient concept, which is needed at every time of in human history, some way of opening doors of opportunity and empowerment to folks who are without power, without means to access the benefits of larger society. So for us, that has meant providing out-of-school time programs, particularly for underserved children, after-school programs, summer day camps. We also have expanded some of those ministries into adult literacy or parenting programs. We feed 15,000 meals for the kids who are involved. That's over the course of a year for the kids who are involved in these programs. We do some things with providing emergency food assistance, food pantry, clothing closet, holiday, Thanksgiving turkeys, Christmas gifts. It's a holistic concept. But it's not simply aimed at meeting the physical needs. It's also about building community and helping people become a part of a community and recognizing that they have much to give as well as these needs that need to be met.
And now two of your facilities that I had the opportunity to visit yesterday, the Merrick Center, which is this beautiful facility with a basketball court and a computer room. And then just a few blocks away is Atlantic Gardens, which is in the community room of a public housing development. Two very different models, both serving the same purposes, which is to make sure that kids have something constructive to do after school. Talk about both the Merrick Center and the Atlantic Gardens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to begin by saying we work from a community development model where we build relationships within the community. We understand that even in poor communities, there are a lot of assets, human assets. There are resources and facilities often that can be used. We've run programs in churches, in community rooms, in public housing complexes, in community centers, and in Southeast. Several years ago, we had the opportunity to begin working at Atlantic Gardens, Atlantic Terrace, Southern Hills, which are these large public housing communities. They have community rooms where we've been able to set up computers, do after-school time programming or summer day camps or adult literacy. And the Merrick Center, which is adjacent to these public housing communities and to St. Thomas More Catholic Church, and which was constructed with a variety of resources, some city money. I think the Archdiocese of Washington put a lot into this. That facility provides, that's wonderful to have kind of a state-of-the-art new building building, where the kids really are thrilled to be able to come in and use a beautiful gymnasium. We have classrooms there. The programming that happens, Pete, at Atlantic Gardens or in the Merrick Center, in many ways is very similar. We're responding to directly to the needs of kids. We help them complete their homework. We provide a variety of academic enrichment opportunities as well as field trips, provide meals. And the Merrick Center, of course, provides a larger computer lab and this marvelous gym, so we can do some other kinds of activities that, you know, wouldn't be possible in a community room.
And you're also feeding kids.
Right, right. We feed about at least 15,000 meals a year during the summer day camps. The kids get breakfast, lunch, and supper. You know, there is a summer feeding program that where those meals are provided, the breakfast and lunch. The supper meal is in partnership with the food banks, National Area Food Bank. They have a program called Kids Cafe. They provide the food, we provide the cook. And a lot of these kids would not get, certainly not a full nutritious meal, if especially in the evening. During the school year, of course, they have the meals at school. So this is a very important thing. Kids can't do their homework. It's a health and nutrition issue. And, of course, with the Merrick Center, you know, the physical activity is also an important piece. And this holistic concept of trying to address all the needs in a kid's life, I think, is very important if you're going to help kids achieve academic and life success.
Yesterday, I started out at the Merrick Center and watched the little kids in the gym and some of the older kids doing work, and then headed up to Atlantic Gardens to that community room and spoke with an AmeriCorps volunteer. And I said, you know, what time do you start? I think she said 3:30, but kids start showing up at 3:15. Mm-hmm. And then headed back down to my car and just wanted to poke my head in one more time in the Merrick Center as they were cleaning up from dinner. And Greg, who runs the Merrick Center and clearly has a great relationship with the kids said, you know, it's a half day at school tomorrow. And so he said, okay, so we're going to be starting, I think he said, at 3 or 3:30. And one of the girls' faces, when she did the math, that she was going to have a three-hour gap between the end of school, and you could see her doing the calculations in her head and the after-school program, and the stress in her face of having, it's pretty clear, nowhere to go for those hours, was very striking. And Greg reassured, you know, we'll be here tomorrow at 3. But the kids in Ward 8, but you're also elsewhere in the city, in Southeast, right. It's not like there are a lot of other programs available.
Yeah, most of our programs are in Ward 7 and Ward 8. And, you know, there are a number of community organizations that are doing good work. And, you know, there's more than all of us put together can do. I think what's tough for a lot of people to understand, especially when you don't live in these neighborhoods, is to realize how important these programs are to these families and to these kids. Affluent middle-class families simply do not understand. It's just impossible. We don't share that life experience. And these programs, in many ways, are a lifeline for these kids. It provides a safe place. It provides a positive environment. It provides them with an opportunity to develop their potential. These are bright, wonderful, beautiful kids. And so these programs are critical, just absolutely critical for the well-being of these children.
Does OSSE realize this, the Office of the State Superintendent of Education? I think folks may have heard of it, maybe not, but certainly don't know, maybe not the significance of it. It is funding CityGate, or not. Talk about the difficulties you've had in keeping this program funded.
Okay. Well, you know, we have a variety of programs and a variety of sources of funding. We really face a crisis with this particular program because we haven't been paid for $60,000 of services that we have provided, and that's really placed our organization in jeopardy, and you know, also threatened the ongoing delivery of these services for these children. OSSEE, the Office of the State Superintendent of Education, I think is you know, deeply committed to the well-being of the children in the District of Columbia. You know, it's different when you're in a government office. You're not in the community. You're not. You don't see what you saw when you walked back into the Merrick Center, and you saw something in the eyes of a child that touched your heart. You know that. You, if you're not there, if you don't experience the program at that level, it's hard to really understand how critical these programs are. Now, the funding from OSSEE actually came through a 21st century grant. And we were a partner with an organization which was a fiduciary for this grant, Youth Engaged for Success, YES. And unfortunately, this organization failed in its fiduciary responsibilities. And, you know, that's their failing. OSSEE knows that CityGate has provided faithfully and high-quality services in this community and has said, unfortunately, because of the failure of this other organization, that they are not able to reimburse us for the services that we have provided. And I can tell you specifically, you know, about the summer program if we want to talk about that, because we designed and implemented a summer program for these kids in response to real concerns, not only from the kids, but from people in the community who said, you know, we've really got to have something starting when on the first day of summer vacation all the way through summer. We responded to that. And after we had spent $50,000 the week before the program was to finish, OSSEE told us that because of the problems with this other organization that we weren't going to get paid. So I don't know if anyone's ever had the experience of, you know, going to pick up their paycheck and saying, oh, got to tell you that you're not going to get your paycheck and no advance notice. But that's kind of our experience. And it's a tough one. I will say that I think the staff at OSSEE, you know, certainly is trying to help us. But I think they do need to find a way to you know, cover the costs. This money is federal money. It belongs to the children in this community. And what OSSEE is going to end up doing is sending that money back into the federal treasury. You know, that's really, if you step back and you look at the larger scheme of things, that is a theft from these children in a chronically underserved neighborhood that has been disappointed time and time again. And I think those of us here in this city need to find ways to make sure that those who are often forgotten, left behind, you know, get the short end of the stick. You know, we have to take whatever steps are necessary to make sure that that doesn't happen. And let me just add to this, Pete. You know, we came into these housing complexes a few years ago. Nobody in that particular neighborhood was addressing these needs with kids. And if we are not able to put things back together given this financial loss, there isn't anybody waiting at the door to step in and cover this. Now, I do want to say that OSSEE has found a way to resume funding. So that's why you saw that program going when you went over there yesterday. And I appreciate that. They worked very hard to find a way to reestablish that funding. They have not addressed the fact that we are owed $60,000 for services that we have provided, and that in itself endangers our viability and our ability to serve that community.
As a grassroots organization, so I'm guessing with OSSEE not coming through with the funding for the summer program, that the staff at CityGate then didn't get paid?
Well, no, they did get paid. They did get paid. And first of all, I mean, I want to make clear that I am not blaming Aussie. I blame Youth Engaged for Success for failing to perform its contractual fiduciary responsibilities with Aussie. However, the money that we are owed is not in the possession of YES. That money is still in the possession of Aussie. It has never been given to YES. They need to find a way to pay us those funds. We have put money on our corporate credit card. We bled out all of our resources. We borrowed money internally from other programs where we have, you know, had some money that had not yet been expended. And at the end of the day, it still wasn't enough. I went to the bank and took something off my home equity line to make darn sure that every single one of our employees got their last paycheck this summer.
Lastly, any final thoughts you want to share? And also, you know, as I follow some other developments, for example, WPFW is possibly going to be displaced by a luxury boutique hotel, which is going to receive $61 million in tax breaks in a week or two. They're going to break ground on another luxury hotel by the convention center, which is going to receive more than $250 million in tax breaks. And I find that it is in stark contrast to the work that you're doing, which requires not tens of millions of dollars, but tens of thousands of dollars to really enrich not the richest, but the most vulnerable kids. And we've had sort of talk about schools and the importance of children. Well, it seems to me here's a chance to put our money where, at least at the rhetorical level, our leaders' mouths are. Your thoughts?
Well, I came to D.C. in 1987 as the pastor of a downtown congregation that had very valuable downtown property, and I'm familiar with development issues from that perspective. They're complex, and it's a discussion that goes maybe beyond what we can do here. But Pete, you have raised, I think, a critical issue that in society. The existing power arrangements, perhaps understandably, serve first the interests of those who have the most resources and the most power. And I really think we need to raise our voices on behalf of people who really have no voice. And we have got to say for kids in Ward 8, in poor neighborhoods, or whoever it is that really doesn't have a place at the table, look, when these billions or millions of dollars are being allocated for a variety of projects, I understand that in many ways we're investing in the future of the community. Don't forget that there is nothing more precious than the lives of especially children in impoverished communities. The amount of resources, I mean, we're talking about, you know, our organization is out $60,000 for providing a summer that who knows over the course of a lifetime what that experience may mean. I don't know. But it's a pittance compared to the larger pot of resources. We've got to find ways in the interest of justice, in the interest of compassion and basic fairness, to make sure that those whose needs are the greatest aren't overlooked and forgotten.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Pete.